All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever episode of the Low Mid Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Huey Revolution, and here with me I have my boy, Ramil.
What's good?
And my other homie, Nemo the Zeus.
What's up?
All right, so what is this podcast? We're going to be talking about anything and everything from the perspective of three lower middle class young gentlemen. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Just a little background on who we are. Huey Revolution, you guys may know me from my internship with Dead End Hip Hop, where Ramil is also an intern. I'm an artist. I make music. We make films. And we're just like an art collective. And yeah, we're just going to get into some good, fun topics, you know, from a wide range of different things, and just let you guys get to know us a little bit better outside of just seeing us being in the background of a bunch of, you know, Dead End Hip Hop videos.
My name is Ramil, and I go to Georgia State. I'm a filmmaker. We're all in the film group together. That's how we know each other. We do films and music together and stuff like that. And yeah, that's pretty much, you know, sums it up.
Nemo. Yeah, I'm Nemo de Zeus. I'm also an artist, musician, filmer, photographer, poet. That's really it, really. I met Low Mid a couple of years ago. Actually, we was messing around with another short film project that I was a part of, and you know, the chemistry was just always there, so that's why I've just kept on going with Lil Mid. Yeah. They're a great group of guys.
We're just all good
friends. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, we're all best friends.
Those of you who know us from Dead End Hip Hop, you can think of us as like the younger, cooler, better, smarter Dead End Hip Hop, you know? Everybody's looking at me like, oh shit. Well, okay.
Nigga,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, bold statements being made here on the first episode.
You gotta start strong, man. All right, so let's get into some trending topics. That's how we want to start our show off, with the most relevant things going on. So what's up first, Nemo? All
right, so the biggest news right now, well, one of the biggest headlines from last week is the Jussie Smollett case and how that's been unfolding.
Man.
You know, I've been keeping my distance with that case because, like, I wanted to see how it would unfold. But yeah. Now it's coming out that, like, he's lying about all this different stuff. And, like,
it's shit coming out. Like left and right, man, from the pro side to the negative side. It's like the most, like a tennis match.
It's like an Empire episode. It's like some fake shit. Like, it's like this story just keeps getting complicated with each passing week. And it's like everybody thinks they've drawn these conclusions and know what the story is. And yeah. Then there's some more shit come out.
So the last two things that happened, one of which I think we just saw this morning. But the first thing was that the Chicago police reported that Jussie Smollett fabricated the whole story. Hired two Nigerians that he actually worked with who were extras on Empire to basically beat him up and just orchestrate the whole incident. And so when everybody found that out, it was just like, fuck, you know, like it was like celebrities writing for him, and like it was like a whole movement. And like the last thing that a lot of people expected for it to be was a lie, even though I'm not gonna lie, like I kind of thought that the whole situation was kind of skeptical from the beginning.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, and then so that was the last thing that happened right before this morning, which TMZ reported that the check that he wrote for them, because there was a report that he wrote them a $3,500
check, right? Yeah. which ain't enough
for
me to fucking fuck up.
And then the last thing that TMZ reported was that that's actually a lie, and that the check was he wrote them a check so that he can get it for fitness.
Some fitness shit or some kind of exercise shit or some shit like that, yeah.
Yeah. So what do y'all think? What do you believe? Do you believe Jussie, or do you believe these Nigerians in the Chicago Police Department?
I'm not really sure. Like, I still need to, like, wait for the entire shit to, like, unfold. Cause, like, this is still very fresh. Like, just like Ross said, it's like an episode of Empire. Better yet, Boondocks. That's what it feels like to me, at least. Because, like, think about it like this. This nigga, he's been on TV for years, and he's been out there as kind of like a representative for the LGBT community. So, like, niggas was feeling for him and shit, but, like...
Yeah, man, I felt bad, man.
I felt bad.
I posted something when I heard about it, because I was like, that's the wildest story I've ever heard. A noose, bleach, N-word, F-word, beat the shit out of him. I'm like, god damn, like, how much worse could it get? And then it's like, that shit was a lie.
But you know what made me initially skeptical, though, from the get-go, though, was that I still question why how somebody that famous, like, he's on Empire, which is a pretty big show,
yeah,
and a lot of people know who he is, and I'm just like, why the fuck was he out there with no security? Mm-hmm. And that didn't make no sense to me. Just like, and people were saying, oh, you still go places like in Chicago, you're that big without security? You know what I'm saying? You're an actor on a big-time show. Yeah. So that first, I was like, dang, that's kind of, like, questionable.
That was a little fishy.
And then, like, when they – now when they said, like, they it was reported that Nigerians came forward and said that they got paid for this.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's also fishy to me. It's, like, so much weird shit on both sides. So
that sounds like Nigerians trying to take credit for something.
Yeah. To me, it sounded like they were just pushed into a corner and were just caught up and were just like, you know, Jesse made us do this shit.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, if you were working with Jesse, first off, why is he only giving them $35,000?
And he's making $125,000
an episode for Empire. So what the fuck are they doing this for just like fucking $3,000 for?
I mean, it's part of the finesse. And didn't you say that like the guys that actually beat him up, they were like extras or something?
Yeah, they're extras.
So that fact
allegedly,
alone.
Allegedly, those are the dudes that beat him up.
That fact alone makes it even more funny for me. And then you add in the fact that there's security footage of them buying the shit. Yeah, they're buying the
together?
Shit.
Together?
Together, yo, around the corner.
I heard about that, but I didn't know if that was true.
If you were working with Jesse, right, and he's like this multimillionaire, right, he's a very famous person, probably has a lot of connections, especially if he's going to do something illegal, you know he probably has some solid lawyers, right?
Yeah.
So if you get caught up, and if you're one of the Nigerians, why would you start snitching immediately? Wouldn't you be like, damn, hold on, let me see if I can try to reach out to Jesse and see what the fuck is going on because we got caught, and let me see if, like, wouldn't you try to work some shit out? Wouldn't you try to, like, some shit up?
It's a whole lot of, like, plot holes in this whole shit.
It seems kind of weird to me, man.
Yeah.
So that makes it seem like a setup then. It's kind of going on the side of it being all fabricated.
You know what else is crazy? Like, just did you guys watch the Chicago police video? The police.
No, I didn't see that.
So I watched the video, and the whole time I'm watching the video, he's like speaking on it as if he's already been convicted. And like he's already, like, we know this for a fact that he fabricated all this shit and blah, 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 even though the case is still like underway. And I don't even think he was arrested at that point in time.
In the court of public opinion, he has been pretty much like.
Well, that's with everything.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people just took that shit and ran with it as soon as it came out that he might have fabricated it. And I noticed that, like, a lot of people just. And if it is true, then that's probably why he's talking like that. Then if it wasn't true, he'd still be saying, like, well, I'm not lying. I'm not. Isn't he still, like, going around
saying
this shit is
lying.
True, right?
Yeah.
So.
He turned himself in, but he's saying he's not lying. He did an interview where he was like, I'm not lying. So he's sticking to his story.
I mean, this whole shit is just, it's going to be another facet to this story next fucking week that's
going
to change our whole opinion about this whole narrative.
It's going to just keep
going
back and forth and back and forth.
But my whole question was initially, though, if he did fake it, I wanted to know why would he do it?
What would
be the motive?
What would be the reason?
Clout. Really. Yeah, I got to
get some clout.
Like, there was a rumor that he wasn't being paid enough from Empire.
He's getting over $100,000 an episode.
Yeah, and plus they were already talking about killing off his character and whatnot. So that situation probably could have gave him the leverage to want to, you know.
$20,000? Oh, okay. FIFA's like, telling me it's $20,000. That's still, shit, a lot more money than I've ever seen.
Is it $20,000? Because I could have, when we looked it up, it said $125,000 an episode.
That's Taraji and. Oh, the main acts, yeah.
Okay. So then that's probably.
Hold on.
Yeah, so like
somewhere
I said,
between,
he wasn't getting paid enough. Got to get the clout, got to get the headlines back up so that he can get some more work or a better role on Empire or something, a better role with Fox or something.
Really? But on Forbes, it says police say Justice Smollett's case was about money, but he earned an estimated $125,000 an episode.
I don't know.
I mean, he probably feels like
that's,
what source is that from?
Forbes.
Okay, so if that's from Forbes, say he's making that much money. He wants more?
He wants some, right, so he had to set up a whole fabricated-ass incident?
And he set this up really poorly, too. Because I think
It's set up so fucking sloppy
why
that
wouldn't
this shit
you,
is just so funny.
Wouldn't you make sure this shit is, like, sealed tight before you hit go and just get the shit beat out of you if you orchestrate this? Wouldn't you be like, if you're going to say it's two white men, wouldn't you hire two white men? Why would you just hire two random Nigerian niggas to beat you up? And, like that you don't know very well at that, apparently, if they're snitching on you after, like, a couple days.
I'm still – just for, and then they did this shit still for $3,500, which is, like $17,500 a piece, which is, like
– it seemed very over the top, like the noose, the bleach.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, all this overtly hateful shit.
Yeah.
Like, it was like... And I initially, I ain't gonna lie, like, you know, like, we all initially, when we first heard it, we was all like, damn, that's fucked up. We like, we sent prayers to Jesse. We sent condolences to Jesse. We were convinced. You know what I'm saying?
Weird, but you know what I meant. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, now it's like, dang, bro. Like, I think we're more so concerned with the ramifications of all this shit if it does turn out that it's all fake.
Speaking of that, wasn't there, who's the woman that you sent me the video of? Amandala?
Amanda Seals.
Amanda Seals. And she made a video basically talking about, what was she saying exactly?
So basically she was like, well, from the first video of those six that she posted in that one post, it was kind of like, she kind of didn't agree with the fact.
She was speaking out against people saying that Jesse is holding us back for doing what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did she say, like, specifically?
So, and she was like, and then she brought up R. Kelly and said that R. Kelly's still walking around free. So if that's not holding us back, then why do you guys think Jesse's lying about it, holding us back? He said, well, that's not making it any worse. Yeah. Basically, what's her argument?
True. And then she said, like, that's not what's holding us back. What's holding us back is black men not voting, the whole R. Kelly situation, and a bunch of other stuff, too. But everything besides Jesse, she said, that's, I don't know. So when you sent me that video, I was just kind of like, this is weird. Like, I see what she's trying to say. But I don't know, man. Just because it's like a red herring.
Yeah.
What Jesse did shouldn't hold us back or the LGBT community, but you can see the point that they're making, right? If you cry wolf,
yeah,
and you fake like the biggest story of the year, the next time somebody, especially somebody that's not as famous as Jesse, says that happened, they're going to be like, nigga,
that's the point I was making. He set a bad precedent. If it indeed is all fabricated, he set a very, very horrible standard for people who may experience this in real life.
And he's just giving more fuel to the right, like the extreme right, who are going to be like, see what they already say, that the left lies about everything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look at this. This is like concrete proof. If it comes out that he's convicted that he did this, he fabricated this, man, like.
So how much jail time would he get, like, or like, is he protected to get if it does, like, if any, like, if, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I have no idea. I know it's a felony charge, but that's all
for
I know.
Yeah, for filing a false police report, right?
It wasn't like 3-7 years. I don't know the details.
Something like 3 years.
But I just hope for the sake of the population, the black gay population especially, that this is not, that he's not lying for their sake, especially because of the consequences they might have to deal with from this point moving forward.
Yeah.
If anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm going to wait to let's wait to see the conviction, but let's hope he's not lying. And if he's not lying, let's hope that he doesn't get wrongly convicted.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy story. What's up next, man?
So next we got the other big news from last week, R. Kelly.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, 10 charges.
It was 10 charges of sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
And a couple of those women were alleged to have been underage at the time. Two of them.
Yep. Yeah. I know you have a lot of opinions on R. Kelly, Jalen. What do you think about this? I mean,
R. Kelly, basically, like, I think he is an individual who's had a very fucked up life and turned out to be a very fucked up person. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I didn't watch the whole documentary because I watched like part of the first episode and I was like, I can't really take no more of this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, for the same reasons that Mike expounded up on earlier, just the quality of the film too is bad. Plus, it's like, for me watching that kind of content, it's like, after seeing just the first couple of minutes, a lot of people was
after
like,
a while,
I don't need
you're
to see
like,
no
okay,
more.
I get the idea.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I saw that. And then, you know, I got a lot of backstory on his life and the fact that he was molested, like, from the ages of 7 to 14 and stuff like that. And, like, knowing how that can play on the psychology of an individual and how that can influence the deviant behavior that he carried out on others. Not saying that he still didn't make the choice. I'm not making any excuses, but I am going to put in context his mindset and the trauma that he experienced as a child. Mm-hmm. And so, and, like, what was done to him, I think it was said that it was done to his sister as well, or something like that.
His sister did it to him and his brother.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? Like it was like a pattern of like this very fucked up behavior.
I feel you, man, but at a certain point, once you get to be like 26 and shit, obviously just stop fucking with teenage girls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, but yeah, he's still wrong for what he did, and he should be in jail. And now I think that they'll lock his ass up for real. Like, now I think he's going to jail.
Yeah.
Because, like, that documentary, all it did was make the iron hot again to get his ass.
Yeah. I said, I didn't think he was going to stay. I thought he was going to watch the documentary and be like, all right, I need to leave the country. Because what does he need to stay for? He doesn't need to, like, get any more fucking money from America. He's worldwide. He should have just left, but, hey, he got fucked up. He got fucked.
Do y'all
he stayed, and now he's going to get charged.
Do y'all think that R. Kelly can come back from this?
No. No, I don't. I think he's fucked. And yeah. I think he should just be quiet. Like, if he doesn't go to jail or whatever, if he doesn't want him going to jail, I think he should just lay low for the rest of his fucking life. Like, limit the public appearances as much as possible, because you have been publicly crucified in the eyes of a lot of people. And a lot of people are not fucking with you and will never fuck with you again.
Yeah.
So my best advice to him would be just to stay low and be happy that if you don't go to jail, that you didn't get fucking locked up. I guess if it's him, be grateful that you didn't get locked up, if he doesn't wind up getting locked up. And just don't add any more fuel to the fire, because no matter what you say, your image is permanently fucked, in my opinion. His image is permanently fucked.
I heard the police were waiting for him, like, at the studio. Like after he left the studio, he went straight to jail.
Damn.
So, I mean, yeah, they on his ass now.
Yeah, he's over with.
It's over with. Yeah, what do you think?
I don't think he can come back from this.
Yeah, like, there isn't any, because Jalen, I mean, Rollo, didn't you send out something about how he was, like, flirting with his hairdresser?
Yeah, there's new
something like that, Noel.
That
I don't know.
Well.
Something like that. I'm not sure. But.
Yeah, he was very persistent with his hairdresser. Imagine who else could he have tried to get with.
Oh, yeah. Like, is that the one that he was alleged to, like, that's what he – is that the person that he, like, left his DNA on? He left his DNA on, as he put it. Is that person? Because I don't know that. So, is that that person? Like, you know that story where I showed you where it was, like, he said one of the girls alleged that they got involved in something, or she rejected his advances, and then, like, he, like, masturbated on her or some shit. Like, I read that.
Yeah,
I think I showed you that. You saw that?
Yeah,
that was that woman, right?
Yeah.
See, that's that weird deviant shit I'm talking about. Like, that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't explain that type of shit to me. So for that shit, he's a sick individual who needs to be locked up. And, like, they said his bond at $1 million. And $1 million, which he can probably sneeze that shit out of his fucking wallet. Like, that's
he'll be free for a few months, but nah, his career over with.
Yeah, his career been over with. His image is permanently tainted, in my opinion. I don't think he can recover from that shit.
Yep. And now the next, jeez, three criminals lined up back to back. The next person we're gonna be talking about is Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh yeah, good old 6ix9ine. Yeah.
Y'all gotta have to fill me in on this, on the details, because I don't know the X's and O's of this case.
Yeah,
like
we all know Rod, he doesn't really like 6ix9ine at all.
You don't
so, like,
fuck with 6ix9ine.
I don't
follow him at all.
I don't give him energy like that. I really don't.
So you know what happened to him though. Like, you know about how
I know he's snitching and shit. Yeah.
So DX News reported that 6ix9ine, at this point in time, it's reported that he most likely will not receive any jail time. He may get out as soon as January 2020.
Damn.
For snitching, completely cooperating with the feds.
So maybe even sooner than that. We'll see.
Yeah.
So his whole fortune had turned around because he just starts snitching on every fucking body, which y'all can't be surprised that he's snitching on people.
I'm not surprised.
Like, what
I'm
is it like? Because, like, even his whole gimmick, it was a gimmick he was portraying. He's not in these streets for real. And everybody knew that for the most part. I think it's just like when it came out that he was snitching everybody, I was just like, all right, like, he's not that street shit.
Say he gets out 2020, next year, January.
Yeah.
You think he can come back from this? Honestly, do you?
I don't know, bro.
I think he could come back from
this. He could come back from it, because I don't know if he was ever that far into the fucking hole. Was he ever that dead in the water where we just like, oh, well,
people
are
just like,
fuck
him?
Yeah.
I mean, true, but people are starting to see it that way now that the reports are coming out that he's about to be a snitch, because, like, think about it like this. What other rapper do you know goes to jail and then snitches on their entire crew? This is pretty big, in my opinion.
That's the thing. Do you think, like, the average kid listening to 6ix9ine is going to give a fuck that he's snitching? Like, the average 10-year-old kid, they probably don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, the average white kid, I'm like, free 6ix9ine. I don't know. They don't care, bro. Like, I feel like, I don't know. 6ix9ine really set a precedent for, like, how you can really just come in and finesse the whole game and just act fake as shit.
And that's a scary part about the future of hip-hop.
Yeah.
The fabrication of a lifestyle?
He came in,
hell yeah,
got rich, then he got caught up, got a lot of people locked up, and now he may get out and they're fucked.
Yeah. And plus, wasn't he the one that was somewhat in charge of this whole RICO case?
I don't know about all that. Now, you have to clarify that for me, because I don't know about all that.
Because, like, there were stories saying that Okay, so remember the Chief Keef hit that he tried.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
the Chief Keef hit. He's one of the people that's in custody.
Oh yeah. So like, if anything else though, even if he gets out or whatever, if anything, he might still get hurt in these streets though, because he did cost a lot of people.
He's gonna be protected by witness protection.
Oh yeah, that was
another thing I was gonna ask. Do you think he should go into witness protect?
100%.
Hell yeah.
For his sake.
Yes.
But is he gonna be able to pull it off though? Because keep in mind, he got 269s on his body.
Hey man,
he's gonna be recognizable literally anywhere.
He needs to hire a bunch of security.
Yeah, like whoever.
And just mob around everywhere he goes for the rest of his life. Like, I think that's what he's going to do, bro. He's going to mob around with just a bunch of security, still cracking jokes and still trying to make music until he just gets killed or something. I feel like he's going to come out day one and like make a meme and joke about
it. I feel like
he would
do that.
Yeah, he's going to be on some petty shit.
And still make some music.
Man, are we going to listen to that shit?
I mean, I never listen. I mean, I think his fan base will alienate him necessarily? Maybe.
Man,
maybe or
I
maybe not.
I know
people
who want 6ix9ine to just be free and just want to listen to his music.
And that's his core
so
fan base.
I think
base.
The people that were listening are still going to listen. They're going to think that shit was funny. Because like, it wasn't like the hardcore gangsters were listening to his shit in the first place.
Yeah.
They're not going to change what's going on one way or the other. Like I said, the average 10-year-old kid is just going to be like, oh, cool, 6ix9ine's out. And just go cop his latest fucking single.
So do you think he'll be able to, like, pull off a tour in the next decade?
If he never gets above the point he's at now, then no.
I think, yeah.
You think, yeah?
Yes.
Explain why.
Ooh. I think people would go for the novelty of it, man.
The novelty,
people that
yeah.
like memes and shit.
I guess.
I think
guess
they would go
because
it's funny.
I guess for his first tour, then.
Okay, so yeah, maybe.
He's like big
I might
overseas.
Give you the first tour.
Yeah. He's like big overseas too, so yeah. They definitely don't give a shit.
God damn, this shit is sad.
Yeah,
this nigga, it's sad
gonna,
this nigga's big.
We're gonna see what this happens because this is a very interesting case in hip hop.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he does if he gets out. If he just lays low or if he just keeps being himself.
What advice would you give him if you could talk to him? If you could be like, when he comes out of this case and he's washed his hands with it, what do you say? Like, bro, I think you should continue putting out music and still be on the same shit that
like,
you were on before.
Man, if I was you, I would go to Mexico. First off, he's got another country to go to, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me personally,
he should just bus it straight to Mexico, start a new life there, and he's straight. That's it.
But would Mexico be far enough?
He might could just go back to the life he had, or like I don't know, he might could like you say he could start a new life under his real name. He could just totally change his lifestyle. He can totally change his life. My question would be like, I don't know if he would come back and still be on the same rah-rah shit he was on before all this shit happened. Some people think he's just gonna pick right back up where he left off, and I'm saying I don't think that'd be a smart move.
I feel like he would do it though.
I feel like he would do it just because he's fucking defiant and he's petty and he's just
because
he's just
a meme, bro.
He don't give a fuck.
He's a meme.
And plus, once he sees the paycheck from his last album sales, then that might be enough inspiration for him to like.
Did his album do that great?
I mean, yeah, it did pretty great. Unfortunately,
it did a pretty decent amount. Yeah,
it got like. I don't know.
It got hundreds of millions of streams.
I think,
which I'm not surprised. I'm pretty sure
it was in the six figure range in the first week.
What's your advice for 6ix9ine? Give him some closing.
I just told you. I said I think he should just lay. Like you said, I agree with you.
Just
like I think
low.
He should probably just lay low. You should definitely probably not come back and start up the same shit. Be on the same wave that you were that got you all fucked up in the first place. And even if he wants to continue rapping. I would advise maybe like a slight change of gimmick or something like that. But even then, though, people are going to be like, oh, hell no, nigga. Like, you really phony as fuck now because you started off one way and then the lifestyle that you're portraying and trying to affiliate yourself with got you fucked up. And then you snitching everybody and you got exposed as not this street dude that's about this life. And then you're going to come back and rap again and then you're going to change your gimmick slightly. So now people just see you as a meme and you're just a character. You're like, you're not even real to people anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Did y'all hear that that song that he dropped with Academics?
No, I did not hear
that. That shit was trash.
I didn't.
Please spare
horrible,
me.
Man.
Spare me, please.
I didn't hear that song.
It sounded a lot like the fucking, you know that song he did where he was just speaking Spanish? It sounded like that, like just a lot of auto-tune and shit.
Yeah.
Did you see Mimique was like, stop capitalizing off this nigga, like he's snitching. Did y'all think, if you were Academics, would you still put out the song?
if I was academics, I mean, what? Okay, well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about like him or like what he does or whatever. But like, what incentive would he have from y'all? Since y'all follow him, what incentive would he have to keep promoting him? Just for views for the?
Well, he put out the song because he was like, I spent a lot of money on it.
Oh yeah.
And I still want to get money.
You talking about the
song
that he's on with 6ix9ine?
Yes,
and I think
he's probably gonna promote it because he's on it.
And 6ix9ine's supposed to be his best friend, right?
Oh, not
at the time.
Not really.
For a long time, they was very close.
I mean, yeah, that was hanging out every day.
Man, they was very, very close, man.
They were best friends.
Goddamn.
And he still made 6ix9ine drop bands on that verse. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought if they were that close. Yeah, I was about to say, how much did he pay then? Because
would you release the song with the backlash that he's getting?
I mean,
would you still like release it, or would you be like, all right, let me hold off on this?
Okay, so let's take a look at it from academic standpoint. So like, we all know academics is a journalist, but he also has this Lil Ack alias type of thing that he's trying to like create and like build up. So from a business standpoint, I would have to put out that song so that the Lil Ack character can get some clout or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. From his perspective, I mean, I guess it would just make, logically, just looking at it objectively, it makes more sense for him promoted just because he's on the song.
Yeah.
So that just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but like the timing of it was kind of weird, though.
Yeah.
I wish he could have like dropped it earlier, but it's whatever.
It is also that kind of like catch me too. Like, do you want to be affiliate with this motherfucker right now? Or do you want to just drop the song just because you want that extra attention that'll come with being on a song with 6ix9ine?
I would put out the song.
Why?
Because I spent money on the song.
Was it true?
Fuck that. Fuck him.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, man, we got like a little characters and shit all already drawn up for the music video. I'm definitely putting out the song.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. You invested too much to pull out right now. So fuck it.
Fuck it.
So, but as far as the Tekashi at 6ix9ine as a whole, like, gimmick or an artist or whatever, I don't really see him. I don't fuck with him initially, but I don't see his career lasting that much longer, him being this hot for that much longer. I think he had an extended period of his, like, he had like 15 minutes of fame, 30 minutes of fame.
He was very hot, but he was mainstream.
Now I think that, like, I just think the steam is out of his sails now, though. Like, I think it's just,
I don't think
he can have a long-lasting career.
Me neither.
Like,
I think
Bobby Shmurda got a better chance of like getting on like the top 50 billboards or something.
Than 6ix9ine?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Bobby comes out, it's going to be a big deal. Because people are rooting for Bobby to win. Exactly. People are not in mass generally rooting for Tekashi to win because he snitched and he basically portrayed a gimmick and he wasn't really about the street shit. And real street motherfuckers knew that, but that's why I think, like,
everybody should have knew that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, except the little kids, the little motherfuckers who was listening to him.
I don't think they know it one way or the other. I don't think they care.
Well, then that'll be his fan base then.
Yeah.
People 12 and under.
There you go.
Will be his fan base.
Would you have snitched if you were 6ix9ine?
Yes. Yes, I would have snitched. I'm not going down for none of them motherfuckers either. No.
You?
No comment on that one. But, like, my life is at stake and stuff, so.
You going to prison? I'm snitching. Are you snitching,
Honestly,
come on, be serious.
If I was 6ix9ine,
yes. Would you have snitched?
I don't condone snitching, but if I was 6ix9ine,
man,
if I was in the situation, if I had fucked up that badly, hold up, man.
I don't condone
prison. They were fucking his girlfriend, his baby mama. They were finna kill him.
All right, they was finna kill him. They was plotting.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I'm snitching.
I would have snitched and went to Mexico.
Yeah.
If I was 6ix9ine, but I wouldn't have been in that situation in the first place.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have been in that situation. But just if I was in his shoes right now, I definitely understand why. Because
I
would have
known I was just a meme. And I would be like, oh.
He took himself. y'all think he takes himself seriously, though? Like, you. Like,
bro, if you lie
I think
to yourself,
sometimes, he,
I feel sometimes
like
he does.
He lied to himself long enough that he was like, I'm untouchable. So,
yeah, and people. The only reason he was untouchable because people really didn't take him that fucking seriously. I think that's why he was untouchable because nobody was like, we're not finna fuck with you, nigga. We don't even think you really about this shit.
Instagram has been kind of dead since he got locked up, though.
Y'all niggas crazy.
I mean, we're really just missing him.
Yeah.
I'm good with or without him. I could care less. But I definitely understand why the fuck he snitched because your life is at stake.
He shouldn't have put himself in that situation.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish him the best. I do wish him the best, though.
I do hate seeing him go through that.
Yeah. He put himself through it, though.
True.
Like, shit, you gotta suffer the consequences of the shit. The energy you put out is the energy that came back to your ass. Like, straight up, he was talking all that bullshit.
Hey, man, but then he might be getting out in, like, less than 12 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even if he comes out with
the
W.
Did he win? Did he win? If he comes out and...
I mean, yeah, he won because you didn't go to fucking prison. You did win. But it's like, for your career in the long run, is it a stain on your career? Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's definitely an L for your career. Because... Mm-hmm. Like you know, things, people that are better than him, in my opinion, come and go so quickly. So it's like his, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all this shit is not helping his case to stay in the game.
I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Why I don't see his career standing that long.
You know what I'm saying?
But
we'll see.
Speaking of 6ix9ine, okay, so we know Rod doesn't support 6ix9ine. We know I don't really support 6ix9ine that much. But who do we support that much, like,
that's coming up,
not even just coming up, like, who would you put as your top three favorite rappers?
Yeah, let's get into that. Every week, or every time we do the podcast, we want to break it up into a few different sections, and one of them is going to be us doing top three between each three of us of a random category relating to anything, and so we wanted to start off with top three rappers just because, you know,
it's dead in hip-hop, man.
In hip-hop. You got to know who we're fucking with.
You got to know who we're listening to.
I surprised myself with my list, but who wants to go first?
You can go ahead.
I don't want to go first.
All right, damn, man. Come on.
Let me go first then. All right.
Nemo.
So I'm going to do it like a countdown, all right? So number three.
All right.
This is going to surprise a lot of you, but it's Tech N9ne.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro, listen. Tech N9ne is an underground OG.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, okay, so... We're talking about, okay, we often see rappers with dyed hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For me, Tech N9ne was the first one to ever do that, or he was the first one that I saw to do that, and he was getting criticized by the radio and by other people for that. So when Tech N9ne went that underground route, he just opened up his own label way back in the day, Strange Music, and, you know, he did it, like... Like, I showed you guys a post that he made, like, last week or something, where he said, I can sell out a 10,000 mm-hmm. a 10,000 seat venue, but I'm not on radio, I'm not on TV, mm-hmm. I'm just doing this because they fuck with me.
Yeah,
basically.
Make your case. I want, for the people that's listening, I want them to vote or, like, tell us who won, like, who has the best top three list.
Okay, cool, y'all can do that.
Yeah.
So your case for, so, yeah, you know what, let's do three, let's go around and do three, and then two, and then one.
Yeah, and also, here's another point I want to make about Tech N9ne before we move on to Huey's number three. Tech N9ne's second fastest rapper of all time. Don't talk to me about Ski Mask. Don't talk to me about Busta Rhymes. Don't talk to me about Eminem.
Who's the first fastest?
The first fastest is, without a doubt, Tongue Twister.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Y'all don't know Twista because he's retired now. But
I know Twista. I know Twista, bro. I know Twista,
Nigga,
dog. Hold up, dog.
You're younger than both of us.
I know Twista, bro.
All right.
Okay. Twista is a goat.
So that's who the first one is.
Yeah.
Tech N9ne.
And your case is because he's like a trendsetter, basically.
Yeah, he's kind of like an underground trendsetter,
so
in my opinion.
So just a quick question. What do you like about, like, what are some of your favorite, like, music-wise and flow-wise, like, what do you like about him? Like, what makes
him
in your top three?
Top three.
Okay.
All time now, shit.
Okay, analyze this man's handwriting ability. Well, not handwriting ability. Analyze his songwriting ability is what I mean. Because, okay, like, Tech N9ne, he's a lyricist. He's a fast lyricist. He gets out so much within a verse that you're just like, what is going on? Like,
facts.
Can you hear everything he's saying the first time?
Yes. Yeah, you can hear him clearly as fuck. He don't be gibbering.
But do you catch it, though? Do you be like, oh, shit?
Yeah, you do. Sometimes you do catch it. Sometimes you do have to, like,
I think I just listen slowed in.
Yeah. Sometimes you got...
I got to listen to that shit a couple of times before I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
I got to pause it and, like, be like, oh, and then press play.
Yeah, because, like, Tech N9ne's discography is crazy. Like, I don't know.
So then why do you think he's not been, like... So why hasn't he, like... I mean, it's probably several factors as to why he's not viewed in such a way, but, like, in your personal opinion, why do you think he's been kind of under the radar then, if, in your opinion, he's, like, this goat?
All right, so keep in mind, underground OG, Tech N9ne is, like, 50 or something.
He is, yeah.
So, obviously, he's not going to be, like, popping in, like, our mainstream sources or whatever, but, like, he's still paving the way, because, like, I mentioned Ski Mask earlier. Tech N9ne is one of Ski Mask's influencers, mm-hmm. other than Busta Rhyme.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Hobson too. Hobson was
definitely.
One. Yeah, Hobson was one of his. No, Tech N9ne is definitely one of Hobson's influencers. I guess, in my opinion. Plus, Tech N9ne eventually brought him on to Stranger Music. Not really onto his label, but you know, Hobson had those features. I know.
Am
you
I
know,
a psycho?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my shit.
That shit's hard.
That shit, like, that's your hard as fuck.
Like, I don't know. Tech N9ne, he just doesn't get the credit. He doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Okay.
You want to go next?
All right, fuck it. Since he didn't, shit, I got to.
I just
want to
hear who your third is.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's the same three I said. Like, okay, so my third is like, and I struggle with this just because, like I said, he is like, it's his song making ability that I love so much. Even though technically as a rapper, I don't find him to be like, he's an above average rapper.
Okay.
And like, this is an unpopular opinion, so I already got one.
All right.
But he, I gotta say, Kanye's my third.
Kanye has three
because. It's like, technically as a rapper, I can think of people who are better lyricists and might have a better flow than him.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I do think he's an above average rapper, and he does have like a lot. Like, he's one of the few producer turned rappers whose verse you're actually looking forward to hearing. Like, you want to hear a Ye verse when he's on it. Like, people are actually tuning in to hear what he's gonna say.
Wait, mm-hmm. So Kanye's number three?
He's my number third. He's my number three. So, and it's like, really, it's his whole artistry that I'm a fan of. You know what I'm saying? Like, his song-making ability. He has great song-making ability. Yeah. So I can't deny the fact that I've listened to this man's music a million times. I grew up with it. In my opinion, his discography, at least three of them are classics.
Yeah.
At least three classics. And
he said at least three.
At least three. So it's like, that's why he's in my top three, more so for his overall creativity and song-making ability rather than just his specific rapping ability.
Yeah, Kanye's albums are always an experience, and that's why he's in my top 10.
He's in your top 10.
Yeah, like, it's hard not to put him in that.
All right.
You know. So who's your number three, Huey?
I wanted to go third because I feel like mine's is, like, the most unlikely of the three. Oh, well, you know what? This is number four because I'm doing 4-3-2 because I'm number one. Ugly.
All right. Come
so,
on now.
So number four, my number four pick. Guess.
Okay.
Logic.
Logic. I'm finna say, I was finna give me a chance. Nick.
Ooh, I gotta go for Logic. Simply for the fact. Simply for the fact that I value storytelling like very highly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not as much of a music like nerd as you guys. You already know that. But for me personally, I value being enveloped in a good story overall, mm-hmm. more than anything else. And he's my number three simply for the fact that Incredible True Story and Under Pressure are two of my favorite rap albums.
Those are his better albums, yeah.
I got to put him as number three. There was like a whole like 6 months where I was listening to mostly just that album. Well, those two albums. So I got to put him as number
three. Those albums were crazy for me. Those albums landed him in my top five for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I never got into him like that. But
and anybody listen, you got to remember, we're 21. I'm 21
years
old.
Yeah, we're all
old.
21.
Raj,
I'm
21,
only 20.
And Nemo is 20.
We're peers. So, you know what I'm saying? Of course, our list is going to be like, you know, the older, you know what I'm saying? The older generation is going to be looking like, motherfucker,
we wasn't walking to school listening to that every day.
You know what I'm saying? But it's,
you know, I don't have to apologize for my list, man. Yeah, I don't have to apologize for my shit.
You know, you don't.
Logic is number three of all time, man.
Fuck. And that's your list. And that's your
that's
list.
My list.
That's your list.
And
everyone
over there shaking their head.
And we expected that. That's why I looked at him. I was like, oh shit. But I was like, hey, fuck it, man. It's your list.
I'm saying it with confidence. Logic is the third best rapper.
Oh yeah,
and that's how you should feel
of all time.
Oh yeah, and tell him
like
and tell him about that. Tell him about that Young Sinatra series.
Yeah, man.
He's your favorite, number three favorite of all time.
I think he's just really good at constructing albums, and I feel like when it comes to like stringing together some like clever lyrics and some clever words, he's got it for me. He's got number three spot.
All right,
so let's circle back around.
Nemo, number two.
Number two.
I think my list is gonna win so far.
Well, okay.
All right, number two for me is Tyler the Creator, just because of I guess the influence he had on me as a teen, and I don't know, he just holds a special place in my teenage years, and. Yeah. He was really like the first very raw lyricist on the internet from that internet era, and in my opinion. So like, if we look at his older stuff in his catalog, you can see where the growth comes from, because like nowadays people look at Flower Boy as a whole.
That's his best.
they look at Flower Boy as his best because it sonically is his best.
I believe so,
I
too.
I think so, too. And I don't really like Tyler like that.
Did you listen to the album?
Yes, I listened to the fucking album. I don't like Tyler like that. I don't know. I like him as a personality, but music-wise, I can't do it.
For me,
except for his last album was pretty good, but yeah.
For me, it was just the imagination and the creativity that he would put into his albums at such an early age. Because like, this man was 19, vividly describing stuff that he didn't even live, and he would make it sound very good, very clever. Or at least in my ears, it would. And plus, on top of that, he was making all of his beats, too. So that was also pretty impressive for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on a lot of those points because, you know, I'm also a Tyler fan. You know, like, I meet you there with that. But he's not in my top five or in my top three.
Looking past his music-making ability, he also has a very big imprint on the cultural influence that he makes. Because look at all the kids in L.A. What do they dress like? Who do they dress like?
Tyler,
the Creator. Exactly. Like, I don't know. He brings that California
California
feel back of like rocking the collar shirts and the Hawaiian shirts like on an everyday basis. Like people were making fun of people who would wear loud shirts, but now you see everybody wearing loud stuff.
Yeah,
he made a lot of stuff that was considered, to be honest, and especially he spoke for a lot of black kids who, you know, related to that kind of thing, like black skateboarder kids and a lot of kids who felt like, oh, they weren't black enough because they, you know, listened to this type of music or they wore this type of clothing and stuff like that. He made that cool for black kids to wear.
I will give you that. Exactly. And plus, like, there wasn't really a voice like that in the mainstream.
Yeah,
but it's his music.
Is good.
All right, well, who's your number two?
My number two all time is Tupac Shakur.
All right.
And Tupac Shakur is my number two all time because Tupac had a certain like energy and cadence that is just you can't fake that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like I said, aside from him, like I haven't even gotten to his rapping ability, but just his overall cadence and energy and his, you know what I'm saying, all that he had that it. You know what I'm saying? Like there would never be another Pac. But him as a rapper, of course he's a lyricist. Of course I love his flow. And I think that what his lyrics and his lyricism is what makes me a huge fan of his because he actually has something to say. Storytelling and revolutionary talk and actually bringing knowledge to the people who otherwise may have been unaware. Pac brought that. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's like, I know it's like he's in everybody's top five and he's in everybody's top three. And a lot of people I feel like are pressured to put him into their top discussion of rappers. I personally just have him in my top two because of his lyricism, what he stood for, his authenticity. You know what I'm saying? He's authentic as fuck, like across the board as far as our categories. Yeah, so that
always,
man,
puts in like such raw emotion.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you just feel him. You know what I'm saying? You just feel Pac through the fucking rhymes he spits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you just, it's a certain energy that he brought, and like he could party with you. He could be political with you. You know what I'm saying? You can go out and have a club to Tupac, or you can like be on like some more conscious knowledge seeking stuff and still listen to Tupac. You know what I'm saying? He was very diverse with his content too. Yeah. So for all of those reasons, man, Pac is one of my top two favorite rappers ever.
I love Tupac too, but he's another case where, like, for me, I think I like his personality and like what he stood for as a person better than I like his music.
Fair.
Probably just for the simple fact that I didn't really grow up with it, like, you know. But, you know, I can't deny that he's definitely one of the GOATs, but he's not in my top three. I don't know.
So who's number two?
Yeah, who is
number two?
Number
two for me, J. Cole.
Good J. Cole, yeah.
J. Cole.
One of the top dogs now.
Second favorite artist. He's a really dope lyricist. His albums are, for the most part, usually really good. You know, he's another one where like he can make some hits. He also can have some really deep introspective tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like what he stands for and like his movement in terms of not trying too hard to be so mainstream and just pure. Lyrics, not his production is always super flashy, so people, you know, they say he's sleepy and shit like that. But to me, he's good. He's good at telling a good story. He's good with the double entendres. He's just a good rapper.
I would agree. I just think for me, like what hurts Cole with me is just like his like the song making ability. Like some sonically, it might not sound that good to me, which is why I don't come back to it. But just like as far as his pen is strong as hell.
Yeah.
Like his rapping ability, I can't deny that. Like I will say, he's a really, really, really good rapper who is probably going to be great. continuing at the rate that he goes, like a great rapper. Just for me personally, I just never got down with his like song making ability, like his overall ability to make some good songs. Well, I will say KOD was my favorite project by him.
Yeah, it was a very strong project. And then he just makes songs that for me, I can relate to his point of view a lot. And I don't know, it just helps me to get into that mode of listening to the story and like just feeling him out.
Yeah, the way Cole tackles certain topics is just, it's just very unique to him, and it's what makes it very pleasurable for me.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Okay, now we're on the rounds of number one. I'm interested to see y'all. Well, I think I know yours. I don't know if I know yours.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know Roz, but my number one of all time is definitely Earl Sweatshirt.
Boom.
Yeah. This man. For me, you know, there isn't a rapper that can express his emotions better with pen, better than Earl Sweatshirt. I just fucking love the way he puts together his words to tell a story, and his beat selection is smooth as always. And man, it's really just that MF Doom flow is just fucking crazy to me, and the way he uses it to like explain what he's going through, it kind of like opens up a lane for niggas like me that are always like depressed all the time, but like but like
that's really not funny. I don't know why we all
laugh. I don't know why we laugh. I mean, laugh at your depression, bro. Yeah, we're all just fucked up and depressed and shit.
Damn.
well shit, that's the reality. That's Earl's reality. Yeah. So it opens up a lane for me to be able to talk about that reality.
You just can connect to him.
You connect to him the most.
I connect to him the most.
Okay. I feel that, and that's
what makes him my favorite rapper.
Okay,
those are some solid points. I will agree. Like Earl, like I wasn't a big follower of Earl prior to listening to some rap songs, like the last album that he released. And I really like, I feel all that, like from that one song, December 24th. You know, it's my favorite track of the whole album, because that, like, Earl does really express emotion well. And I have gone back and listened to a lot of his older stuff, and it's good. It's just that, like, maybe that's not usually my temperament. So, like, but I get how he connects with people who's usually in that temperament and in that frame of mind. And I think that it's crucially important that he continues to, like, express that and be authentic. He's being authentic. That's really, like, he's just being authentically himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, without trying to – and you can tell, because it's, like, even with his last album, like, you look at the album cover, you look at the title, it's very abstract and kind of, like, just simple. You know what I'm saying? But the content and the effort that he put into it, you can see it's there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're talking about some rap songs.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely see Earl's appeal, and I think that he'll, like, a lot of people, like, especially a lot of underground people who listen to a lot of underground artists, have Earl as one of the best out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know he was that popular until just recently. I was like, yo, no, Earl is considered a great rapper by a lot of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I believe that I believe he's a good rapper with just raw and honest emotion that he puts through very well in his songs.
I like Earl a lot. There was a phase in my life where I listened to him a lot, like probably more than any other rapper, but I just don't want to be that sad all the time. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to be that sad right now.
The nigga will make you fucking cry. It's like, damn, like, and it's just, yeah, but like I agree. He does do a great job of expressing himself.
Yeah.
It's on to my number one.
Yep. Right? Yep.
All right. My favorite rapper of all time, my number one rapper of all time, definitely 6ix9ine, my nigga. Like, how the fuck did you know? My nigga is fucking 6ix9ine. Nah, bullshit.
He's got the lyrics, bullshit. Bro. Yeah, he's got the hairstyle.
Got the flow in it.
Got the flow and everything, bro. Like, Treyway, nigga. Treyway.
All right, who's
next? But my favorite rapper of all time, besides 6ix9ine, is Andre 3000. Mm. Andre 3000 is my favorite rapper of all time.
Because you look like him.
Because I look like him. Because I look like the nigga. We both Geminis.
My dad, it's personal, nigga. It's my fucking uncle, time. Nigga.
It's personal.
Okay.
Nah, but like, I think he's one of the most creative rappers I've ever heard. You know what I'm saying? Just the type of lyrics that he wrote. And he's eclectic, which I found like really interesting and like just innovative and stuff like that. And I felt like he was one of the rappers who not only rapped about his reality, but rapped a new one through his art. You know what I'm saying? Like, rappers always, you know, have the reason for like, oh, I'm rapping about this because this is what I went through. And I'm like, I feel like rappers also have the ability to rap a new reality, rap some new ideas, just put them out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like Andre 3000 was very adept at doing that. And then above all, he's just a cold ass lyricist. His fucking flow is impeccable on a lot of songs. Like, if you listen to International Players Anthem, people know that Andre 3000 verse. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just certain, like, and I think he's just, and he never, like, he got big and he's critical acclaim to all this stuff, but you never really hear about him. He's very humble. He's very modest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he, like, with his level of celebrity and acclaim, a lot of people with heads would be gassed the fuck up. And it's just, his whole demeanor is just, like, he knows he's dope, and I don't think he ever think he needed validation from everybody else, but he accepts it and recognizes it as, you know, he appreciates it. But also, too, like, I think with him as an artist, like, I felt like what only could hurt his case is though, like, he hasn't really had a traditional solo project.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You think he would have been as good without Big Boy?
I think he could have. Because I think that the general consensus is that he's better than Big Boy. That's my opinion, that he's better than Big Boy. And that that album that they did, I think they did that double album to really show how, you know, how each one of them would go about their solo albums. Because that's basically what it is. It's just a double package of two separate solo albums. So when I listened to that, and then, like, growing up through middle school and like, the early years of high school is when I really discovered Outkast, and I kind of fell in love with them as a group. And so just listening to Andre, it was just, like, a certain feeling that he brings, again, and just his wordplay and just, like, his eccentric style and, like, just everything that was different about him. You know what I'm saying? He never really, as big as they got, he never lost himself.
Yeah.
So that's a part of what makes him my favorite rapper of all time. And just like I said, his flow and his lyrical ability and his pen and his storytelling ability is almost second to none, in my opinion. Like, I know, like, we have some great storytellers, but the art of storytelling parts 1 and 2, that is just a masterclass in how to tell a story through rap. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion. So, that man is my goat.
Got a rep for your dad, man.
You know what I'm saying? Got a rep for the family members and shit. You dig what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, he's my number one. Just boom.
All right, my number one. I gotta go G Easy.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here. Yo. Nigga, don't play like that, bro, because I was finna get up.
Yeah, I did. I thought he was serious, too.
I was finna get up. Listen, hold up.
It was worth it for the look on everybody's face. All right, okay.
I think I know who it is, but I want you to say it.
All right, okay, my favorite rapper of all time, in all seriousness, gotta go Ice Cube.
I knew it. Me personally. I fucking knew it.
Because, man, he's Ice Cube, man. He's got the greatest diss track of all time, in my opinion.
One of
No Vaseline. The greatest diss track of all time, in my opinion. One versus four.
It was great. I'll give you that. It was great. Now. It was
greatest diss track of all time. Some of the greatest songs, just period of all time. Jacking for Beats. One of my personal favorite songs. He's a storyteller. I think I connect him so much because he just is a, like, he writes movies. So the way he goes about writing, I guess, is probably very similar to me.
Yeah.
So he goes about it just like a lot of his greatest songs for me are just like talking about a day in his life, just what he's doing. But he just says it in such a way that it's like, man, this shit is just dope as fuck. So that it is what it is, man. I gotta go Ice Cube for my number one.
Also hella authentic. Yeah. Never been about no fake shit. Ice Cube been true to himself since but fucking four. And then when you see the movie, you'd be like, yo, Cube was the one.
Yeah,
like,
I thought, it's funny because I think I saw Ice Cube in movies first before I knew that he was a rapper.
Really?
Like, Are We There Yet and shit.
How fucking young are we?
That's how our generation is,
I knew him as a rapper first.
I think I knew him as...
Because I remember that episode from the Boondocks.
I was like, why is this rap this actor's name Ice Cube?
I was wondering that at like...
You're showing your age like shit right now.
Hey, man. That was my experience. I was like, all right, well...
You saw Are We There Yet? It was like, who is this nigga? Like, motherfucking talking about some America's Most Wanted. Nigga, you was on Are We There Yet? Fuck you.
Yeah, because remember that episode from the Boondocks where, like, Gangstalicious said that Ice Cube was his favorite rapper, and Rob was like, the nigga that makes family music?
Yeah, that's my experience.
Yeah.
Finding out about him first, but then, obviously, as I got older, I discovered his music, and I was like, oh, this shit is very tight.
What was the first song you remember hearing from Ice Cube?
Probably Fuck the Police.
Like, no, I'm talking about just like a single. Yeah, just him. Just him, yeah.
For me, it was...
I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it was Good Day.
Good Day.
Yeah.
Straight up, it was
Good
Day.
It's gotta be Good Day.
It's gotta be Good Day. Because, like, that shit, man...
That's a classic song.
My dad just played the shit out of that shit, like, when we growing up. So, I was like 7 years old. I was like, damn, dude, who the fuck is this?
And then you guys are making a good case for why my list is the best. Please continue.
I mean, that's one person on your list, dog.
Okay, so this is the final lock-in in our list. Say your top three.
Three to one. Three to
so
one.
People can
number
know
three is
for.
Kanye. My number three all-time is Kanye. My number two all-time is Tupac. And my number one all-time is Andre 3000.
Okay, number three, Tech N9ne, Underground OG. Number two, Tyler, the Creator, Internet Influencer. Number one, Earl Sweatshirt, Raw, Lyricist, knows how to tell his emotion.
All right. So mine was number 4, Logic. Number 3, J. Cole. Number 2, Ice Cube. Number 1, Huey, Revolution.
You sure you're not being a little bit biased?
Nah, man, I'm not.
No, it's not. No personal feelings involved in that at all.
No, bro.
Goddamn.
He's fire, bro.
I got to check out Huey. I got to check out this nigga, man.
For real, man. Sleeping on him. All right.
So what we got for show and tell?
So this is the next segment we want to do called show and tell, which essentially basically we bring a random topic that a lot of people may not know about or talk about that we just want people to talk about more, or at least talk about amongst ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so we've each brought a topic. For this week, we told each other what it was going to be, but I think
I didn't tell y'all mine.
Oh, shit.
You didn't? We don't know his.
We don't know Nemo's, but me and Ra told each other, so let's get into it. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Nemo.
Oh.
Since you're the revelation, motherfucker.
Since you're the variable that's undiscovered.
All right, fuck it. So my topic is kind of a bold statement, but the Atlanta hip-hop scene is as diverse, if not more diverse, as the mainstream hip-hop scene. And when I say mainstream...
Mainstream Atlanta?
No, I'm not talking about what you hear on the radio only. Think about how we consume music nowadays. It's different. I'm talking about World Star, Complex, XXL, Genius, Lyrical Lemonade, if you even want to get to that point. I'm talking about that mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So hip-hop in Atlanta is as diverse, if not more diverse than that scene. And let me explain why. Because looking in the outside, not only... You see the trap artists. They're doing their thing right now. They're getting really big. But Atlanta's way more than that. If you dive deep into underground Atlanta, you may find your next JID, your next Erykah Badu, your next Michael Jackson, your next J. Cole, your next Earl Sweatshirt, your next fucking Young Thug. Well, yeah, you're definitely gonna find your next Young Thug.
You said Michael Jackson.
Well, hey, I said you
your
may
next Michael Jackson.
You I might. Mean, I'm not saying I. You could.
I
be
like
right.
that.
You
one.
Might, or
Putting
you could find someone
city.
Very influenced off of him.
There is a lot of talent out here. We know that. There's
so you're bringing to show and tell the entire undiscovered music scene of Atlanta.
Can you name drop like some it. Artists?
If you can't tell, we're obviously from Atlanta. All three of us. So.
All right, you said name drop some artists.
Yeah, shout them out.
Because I don't know shit.
All right, Coley Xavier. He is amazing. He's got one of the most introspective mixtapes on SoundCloud right now, I promise you. Every one of his shows is an experience. You will be gravitated into what he has to say. Because when he comes to a venue, he doesn't really, like, show his personality until... the beat starts.
Yeah.
So, like, up until the beat starts, he's as quiet, as calm as me on a bad day. But, like, when the beat starts, he turns into a whole another character. He's kind of like, if I had to, like, give a comparison, I would compare him to Kendrick Lamar, the way he writes and the way he expresses himself, the way he be changing his voices sometimes.
So you're saying that we have the next...
Kendrick
all the
Lamar.
Next great artists of all time.
I mean,
in
it's
Atlanta.
Potentially.
I won't disagree.
Potentially,
I won't disagree either.
Potentially, I mean, you could find the next Kendrick Lamar in Atlanta if you look hard enough, or if you got the right ear for that day. What I'm trying to say is, like,
we own this shit.
Yeah. Well, not only do we own this shit, but the Atlanta hip hop scene is way more than just trap music.
Yeah,
because that's what's mainstream coming out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's a good point. And there's a lot of, like, underground talent that's, like, that is really good. Like, I went to a showcase, like, 2 weeks ago. I think I told y'all. Yeah, we all went before y'all came.
The GSU show.
Yeah. But, like, I think y'all probably got there maybe kind of towards when the show was. We had to leave anyway. But, like, when I was there, and even at the Devin Malik's event that we went to, like, it's a lot of young, fresh talent out here, like, that are peers and stuff like that. So I can definitely see what you're saying, but I'm going to need you to send me that guy's music, though, because I don't know him intensely like that. I don't know him at all until you just mentioned him, to be totally honest. So,
well, I know you've seen Coley perform. I know Huey follows Coley. But let me expound some more on that. Actually, fuck it. Yeah, go back to you. I forgot what I had to say.
All right.
Yeah, no, just send me his music.
I won't disagree. So you want me to go to next?
Go ahead. You got it.
Okay. So what I brought to show and tell, my topic that I want to talk about, is polyamorous relationships.
I like that.
Are you guys familiar?
Yeah,
very
I know
familiar.
It,
I was part of a love triangle for 3 years.
Oh,
you got.
Oh shit!
Oh
man,
shit!
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think, when you're talking about, Everybody just propped up looking at me.
It's an interesting ass topic, man.
Yeah, I think people don't talk about it enough. And I don't know. I just wanted to bring it in here and see what you guys think about it. So I was researching a little bit, you know, this weekend. And I was watching a couple videos on, like, what a polyamorous relationship is and stuff, right? And so it's different from... Some of y'all may be confusing it with, like, polygamy, but that's more, like, religious.
Mm-hmm.
Polyamory is, like, a social... It's like an alternative to monogamy.
Yeah.
Monogamy, one significant other with one other significant other. You know, they rock together and they stay faithful and blah, 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 blah. But with polyamory, put simply, and obviously I'm going to overgeneralize this because I don't know very much about that whole scene besides the videos and, you know, little stuff I researched. It's having multiple partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from just being out here and just being single and just fucking shacking a bunch
up.
Of, you know,
yeah.
just fucking
yeah.
and shit. Because more often than not, it's going to be you are, you have a bunch of different individual relationships. And there's like four different main types. And so I'll just go down through them. So the first one is, I forget the terms, so I'm just make up my own terms for them. So the first one is relationship number one, all right? So you say you have a significant other, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's called your primary, right?
Right, okay.
And both of y'all, you know, you mainly rock with each other, like you're going to go to each other's houses for holidays and shit mm-hmm. like that. But each one of y'all may also be dating a number
yeah.
of other people
mm-hmm.
that's outside of that relationship.
And everybody's aware is the key component, too. Everybody
yeah,
knows
yeah,
about
yeah.
it. Okay.
Well, yeah, other that would be just cheating.
Yeah. Yeah,
both parties would do know.
You'd be like, girl, I thought we was in a polyamorous relationship.
Nah, yeah, that's all. You know, that's nigga talking. Nigga, I'm polyamorous. Nigga, I ain't cheating. Nigga, I'm polyamorous, nigga.
All right, so then the second one is the group. So that's when, say you have like four people.
Okay.
They're all dating each other, and they're all the primary, quote unquote, to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, right?
So it's like a big love house.
Yes.
Board. Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much.
Then the next one would be you are essentially, you identify yourself as a single polyamorous person where you don't have a primary relationship, and you are just basically dating a bunch of different other people. Without having just one specific person that you would go to and, you know, call, like, your main girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. And then the last one that I saw was basically kind of like you may have a primary of someone. Or no, you may be one person's primary and then they have – hold on, I'm confusing myself. Hold up.
Goddamn, buddy. Goddamn.
So it's basically like – you are dating someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you may be, like, the other alternative, I think, is just you're the person that's dating the person that's in a primary relationship. So you're not the primary person, but you're, you know, along for the ride, so to speak.
Okay, so.
And then there's ones where it's, like, communities where, like, you may have a bunch of different people that are living together where some of them don't interact at all romantically,
mm-hmm.
and some of them do. And it's just kind of like that.
So you're saying like two people who aren't the primaries could start seeing each other in that kind of relationship? Like say like if you like say if you're dating, you and the girl are dating each other,
mm-hmm.
and then like somebody else that she's dating, like well, maybe, I don't know. Like so.
So what I saw was that it's very fluid and like it depends. It's like you know as diverse as people, like how you go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's gonna be different people that go about it different ways. But I wanted to ask you guys, firstly, do you think you could do that? Like, could you be in a polyamorous relationship?
Shit,
and do you think that should be the new standard?
So, wait. So, it's funny because I've recently learned a lot about polyamorous relationships in my sex and love philosophy class. And
okay.
we talked about it recently in my African-American class that I have.
Yeah.
And so, it's like, at first, before I learned about it intensively, I was of the opinion, like, I could probably never do this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I could probably never do this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I would be able to 100% now.
Yeah.
I'm probably still leaning more towards just being monogamous.
I think I could do it, man.
But, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, but
that's why I was looking
at it. How I learned it is, like, okay, yeah, like you said, like, it's just two people who are in a relationship, and then there are other people that they have relations with, and everybody's consensual and aware of this.
Yes.
Do I think I can do it right
yes.
now?
Could you? Seriously.
No.
No?
No. Right now, at this point, I don't know if I'm at the point where I'm ready. Because, nigga, I'm selfish. Nigga. Like, I think I'm still just a little bit. Like, I just think, like, if you're, and I'm not saying I think I'm still fleshing it out. Though. I'm not saying I don't think I ever will. I'm just saying right now I don't think I'm at that point yet. Because in principle, there's nothing really wrong with it. Once you learn about it, especially as far as how people use it in their culture. Because I know as far as like maybe the religious aspect of it, a lot of
that's
people
different.
Say
that's polygamy.
So these are totally different conferences.
Yeah.
So wait. So then, what's the main difference then, other than religion being the purpose for each one of them? Like principally, what's the difference?
I don't want to get into some like overgeneralizations, but more often than not, you'll see that as like one dude has just like a harem of women.
Yeah.
I'm no expert on either one of these topics, so obviously I'm gonna get some stuff wrong, overgeneralized. So please correct me. If you know,
yeah, no, you're right. That is more like one person. Just
yeah, I'm just talking
that.
About socially.
Yeah, so you know? I mean, and if like we make the joke loosely, like motherfuckers being polyamorous relationships, well, when it's an orchestrated accepted thing, like it's the dynamic that everybody's cool with.
Yeah,
it's trying to be.
Do I think I can do that right now? Probably not. I'm probably not ready.
You were in one before?
You were in one?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you speak. Shit, I've never been in one.
What was that experience like?
Oh, yeah, that shit was, it was trash on my end, but it was fun for her. You feel me?
She had.
That's also not funny. I'm sorry. All right.
It's funny.
Explain.
It's funny. I'm not gonna lie.
So, like, the question was, would I ever do that again?
No, yeah, would you?
I can't put myself through that pain again, bro. Nah, fuck
what
all that.
What if you just had a bad experience?
That's what I'm scared of, goddamn. I'm scared of that.
But if you go into it, I don't want to get too personal.
What was it like? Okay, so.
Yeah, what was it like, though?
So, like.
What sort of situation were you in?
So here's how my situation was. We had already been, like, dating for about 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was already under the impression that I was in love with her at the time. So, man, there was a bunch of shit that was going downhill. Now I'm thinking back on it. But basically, we had came to a point in our lives where we wanted to see more people.
Yeah.
I guess. But, like, we still had our bond together. So we didn't want to, like, completely, like, end our bond together and, like, just go the friend route, because that would be boring as fuck.
That would be boring.
Okay. Shit.
So,
any positives to it at all?
Were there any positives?
For you?
I mean, there was the honest. Oh, you said for me. Yeah. I mean, shit, I got to, like, talk to whoever girl I want and, like, not have her, like,
be tripping.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could just, I would come to her and be like, hey, I just smashed this girl. She was like, oh, how was it?
And so she would come tell you, I just got some dick, and you'd be like, oh, shit, okay, like, cool.
I mean, cool. It was like that at first, but she kind of felt that I was very uncomfortable with that idea, because I was still, I'm still in love with her. Like, I'm still young, making these bad decisions and shit, thinking I'm in love and shit. So, like, I was okay with her doing that, but it got to a point where she could sense that I was uncomfortable with it, so she stopped kind of being that open with me.
Yeah.
Where it got to a point where she would sneak around to, like, have her other affairs and whatnot.
So then that's cheating.
Yeah.
In principle, that's cheating.
Yeah. So
how old were you at the time?
Yeah, how old were you?
I was 18. So the point I'm trying to make is, like, it can start out polyamorous, but, like.
But also, that wasn't the original agreement either. Y'all started off in a real relationship, and then it kind of morphed into something else. Polyamorous relationship was more so, like, y'all come to the table, and y'all say, this is what I want, and y'all both agree on that.
Yeah. That's what happened. Like, after one breakup, we kind of just came together and we were like, yeah, let's try out this open relationship thing, see if it works or whatnot. Mm. So, what was I about to say?
Man, I just think that I could do it because sometimes, you know, there's, like, points in my life where, like, you know, you're dating a few girls at a time, right? You know, like, just going on dates. That's, you know what I mean.
Man, he was saying that because feels like the man right now.
Chill out. No, I don't.
Nigga, I'm pulling in all the cream and shit.
Chill
man.
Out, bro. No. All I'm saying is,
can't get
sometimes, like, I'm a very, I feel like I emotionally connect to people pretty fast, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or, like, when I can let myself get attached to someone pretty fast if I wanted to, right? So then, like, you be dating these girls and stuff, right? And then, like, you just see, I don't know, man. You just see how, like, other people can make the case that you're not supposed to just have one person. Because sometimes you connect with somebody on one particular thing very heavily. and you connect with somebody else on specific things pretty heavily, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my thing is like, because I'd be like, dang, I can see myself dating this girl, but I also can see myself dating this girl as well.
And it also comes down to your criteria for dating too, because I mean you're gonna get different energies.
Talking about like relationship,
yeah, like relationship. Like you're gonna get different energies from people in general, anyways, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, I guess the question would be in that situation. Then, so what is the primary relationship?
Hmm.
What makes that the primary relationship? Then, like, what makes that relationship so special? If you're
the bond.
Just like.
The bond.
But you also have a bond with other people too.
But it's
a different kind of bond.
Yes? It's more than just that bond is more so strong mentally. I guess
because in your situation, it kind of sounded like y'all might have known that y'all weren't gonna work out or might not work out, but y'all still into like we've all done this, like you know, in our selfish ways as human beings, like we both still want to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we also selfishly still want to fuck with other people because. This relationship is not working how we wanted it to. So I can definitely relate to that mindset because you're like, dang, like when the bad times are bad, it's really bad. But when it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
So I want to keep them around and we can still be in a relationship. But I also kind of want to fuck other people because you know what I'm saying? It's to me, it's just like I see the appeal of them, and I see, like, the appeal of everything like that. And like I said, I'm not saying I can never be in one. I'm just trying to figure out, like the primary relationship, because maybe it's because I've been so conditioned to just think monogamously.
Yeah.
And, like, that's our whole life. Like, we've been told grow up and marry one person or whatever. And, like, it's like some people use that just so – and I've heard this. I'm not generalizing people. Maybe some people just use that just so they don't have to have sex with just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that logic makes more sense to me because it's like, oh, yeah, it's like naturally you're not going to have, but to like commit your whole life and to commit
yeah.
your emotions
no, I'm saying, like, yeah,
and intangibles to multiple people, that can be difficult in some ways.
Sure.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially if it's hard for a motherfucker to like commit to one.
Sure.
And then you're talking about like, okay, this is your primary, and then you have like these other
sure.
people who bring like it's like a what's the word like when you bring like food to a shit like a like everybody brings a dish like what's that
a
shit
cookout?
Called no oh, the potluck
a
it's like
potluck.
A potluck
yeah.
where everybody else has something unique to
yeah.
bring to you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't you like potlucks though?
I do like potlucks, Nick. I'm just saying, nigga.
Yeah,
like you know what I'm saying? I do, but that's what I'm saying.
One.
Like,
I think I would be open to it.
At this moment right now for
I
girl.
I didn't say at this moment.
Well,
right
I'm asking
now.
Like right now. Do you think you can be
right
a
right now?
If you wanted
I
a relationship,
put myself on black. Yeah, okay. So if I was thinking, if I wanted a relationship right now, I think I would be open to try it, man. I think
okay,
I would,
okay,
in some capacity.
All right. All I'm saying is this: the idea of it sounds very fun, but like people always like form special bonds that we just cannot break, and sometimes it just gets really strong to like. Based on what I'm saying, there's people catch feelings, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
at
what point does ego come into it, though? If you really attached to this girl, but y'all in a polyamorous relationship, and you see her, like, oh, I'm finna go on a date with Derek tonight or whatever, and then you're just like...
Oh, who's Derek?
No, not even that, but you can't say that, though, because you agreed to it. So it's like, let's say you
agree to it, it's different.
That's what I'm saying, though, but, like, you can't help... Can you help how you feel all the time? Can you help how you feel all the time? Even if
obviously
you agree
not,
to it,
no, I can't.
And you, yeah, if you can't help how you feel all the time, but yet you agree to this arrangement... How do you know at some point?
Well,
like,
I want the group one. I want the one where it's me. And
well, yeah,
I think
every guy wants.
Yeah,
that.
Every guy wants.
And
that. Of course, it's gonna be
well,
even.
They can be with each other too, though. So not just like, that sounded bad, but you know what I meant.
Like, y'all can fuck around with each other. I can give you. I'm doing me. Y'all can do y'all. I'm gonna do me.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna do y'all in the
fantasy,
process.
That's the fantasy of it. All, but yeah,
I think that's the idea of it. I'm just trying to figure out what's the real intense reality of the situation. And you kind of brought
you
that.
You get to be in a loving relationship with multiple people at once. That's beautiful to me.
No, that's the fucking idea of it.
No,
the reality is
it sounds nice.
No, it fucking sounds nice. But the reality is you're a somewhat loving relationship with one person, but you're really just smashing a whole bunch of other people.
I think
people.
You're overgeneralizing based on your experience. No, Nemo.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I feel like it could be very positive for some people.
And
it's
also
probably
too,
not good for everyone. I'm just saying. I think I could be open to it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I said I would want the group one, but like I could be open to the other ones as well. Like I feel like I could.
Other forms?
Yeah, like all the other ones.
Okay. relationship number 3 and 5 just sound like a whole bunch of hoeing around to me.
Hey, man. See, you're simplifying it. You're oversimplifying.
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, so what are the X's and O's of it? Like, you kind of broke that down and said, okay, well, I'm just saying, like, especially if you've been, like, again, trained and conditioned and been in monogamous relationships before and making that transition to a polyamorous relationship, like, we kind of already have our subconscious ideas of what we thought a relationship was. So you kind of have to change that totally in order to fit this mode.
That's why I want to bring it up. I think we should talk about it more.
Yeah, I agree. Normal. I agree. I don't think we should demonize people for sure. We shouldn't judge people or demonize people who decide to participate in it. But just at this moment, I don't think I'm at that point yet. Okay. But I'm not saying that I never will be. I just don't know yet.
I'm just saying I could be open to it.
Well, all right. Now is the time where it will work the best.
For you?
No, like
in the world.
No, where we are, like 2020.
Oh yeah, our age group. Yeah, probably
work the best.
Yeah.
All right. So, what did you bring in show and tell?
Oh, my fact is so much fucking different from y'all shit. Like, my fact is actually like a history book type shit.
Yeah, it's Black History Month.
It is Black History Month, and
give us a Black History fact, man.
For sure. So, my Black History fact and my show and tell fact is that a lot of people didn't know this, surprisingly, but the richest person in history was Mansa Musa, King of Mali. His estimated net worth today was around, what, $400 billion?
Over
$400 billion. And a lot of black people didn't know that. And I was like, damn, what
a lot of people didn't know that in general.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
I never told you that, bro. I'm sorry.
Sorry, bro.
He said, I'm sorry.
I feel like that should be like the education system.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't learn that shit in school. So when I learned that out, I was just like, and that's one of the millions of facts about us that we didn't know about growing up or wasn't taught in school. But when I learned it, I was like, well, damn. Like, and like he threw off the Egyptian economy from giving off so much gold to people. But then what that also did, when you put it in context, is it gave the people at that time an idea of how much wealth was in Africa, which then gave them more incentive to come in and try to colonize it and do the things that they did to it. So, like, that's kind of one of the results that happened from him being the richest person. But $400 billion, my nigga, like,
it's a lot of money.
Like, that's unimaginable to me now for somebody to have that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be dead. Like, he'd be dead.
He'd be dead with that much money.
Like,
wait, no, what to spend?
I'm saying, what would you even do with that much fucking money?
I don't,
like,
that's too much.
Everything.
How much is,
everything you
want. How much
do.
Is the richest person in the world right now worth? Like $100 and something billion. It's Bezos. Yeah. Is it Bezos?
Yeah, owner of Amazon.
So add another 300 something billion to that. He's broke as fuck compared to Mansa Musa.
You do whatever the fuck you want with that much money.
You know what I'm saying?
What wouldn't you do?
Like, how do you not control the world?
He could buy a planet.
He can buy another planet and make that shit like Wakanda or some shit with that kind of money. So. That was my fact. Like, I thought that was very interesting. I've known that for a while though, but I was just surprised that the, like, because you would think, like, with a lot of, like, I at least from my vantage point, I see a lot of conscious oriented stuff. Maybe that's just because of my mindset.
Okay.
But I thought that since it was on Instagram and shit, and like it was on social media, that more people knew about it, and a lot of our community should have known about it more. So when I was going around saying this, a lot of people and a lot of older men, a lot of older black people didn't know this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, damn, like it just shows you how fucking hidden a lot of our history is from us. Like it really made me think about that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah,
that's what's up. Richest man in the world was African Mansa Musa.
Who looked just like motherfuckers in this room. Who was the richest person in the world.
It's inspiring.
It is inspiring. Because, shit, I'm over here trying to get... We thinking millions is a lot. Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. But it's like, in context of where we've been before as a people, like, it's like we were greater... Like, we were great beyond heights we even knew before. You know what I'm saying? So
that was nice.
Yeah, it was poetic as fuck. But yeah, you know,
I
was
going to big facts. Wrap it up there.
Actually, I wanted to touch up on the new music that just dropped over the weekend.
Oh yeah, Gunna and Offset. So let's get into it.
All right, goddamn. All
I
right,
didn't so. Listen to either one, so I'll just be asking questions.
Yeah, ask as many questions as you can. All right,
sure.
So I checked out Gunna's album. At first listen, you know,
which
I'm
one
not,
did you I, listen to, Ramil?
I skimmed through both of them, but I heard, like, I remember more of Offset's tape, so I'll probably just comment more on that shit.
Okay, well, fuck it. Let me start with Offset's tape, because...
Which was better?
All right, sonically, Gunna's is better, but lyrically, Offset's is better. See, Offset, he took the time to dive into the generalized stuff that he would talk about in his features. He took the time to dive deep into that on his album, which I... really appreciate it, like,
true.
You know, combinizing that Migo flow with, like, actual substance. So that was very appreciative. But then, like, during the middle of the album, it kind of, like, dragged on a little bit for me. But then it kind of started Peaking back up a little bit with, like, you could tell which were supposed to be the hits and which ones were supposed to be the throwaways. And that's never really a good thing for an album, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But,
rate it.
Yeah, rate it out of 10.
About a 10. At first listen, I would give it a strong 5. And y'all know that my scale is, like,
they vary.
A 5 is pretty good for you.
A five is decent, I guess, for me.
God damn, you tough on these niggas, man.
What did you think?
I skimmed through, like, I skimmed through the album, and based on what I remember listening, like, definitely the first song was definitely one of the more introspective songs on the album, because he's talking about himself, you know, as a father, and just like you said, like combining that Migos flow with actual substance and actual introspective lyrics, that was a nice change of pace, and we kind of expected that based on what he was saying leading up to the album. Like,
so
he was
rapping the Migos flow, but he's speaking introspectively?
Yeah, yeah. About his children.
About, well, okay. Not even just his
not
children.
Not his children,
just
but his
life.
His
entire life,
his
really.
Life.
He
goes interesting. Goes into depth. He was like, in one bar, he was talking about Forest Park and, like, College Park, I think. And, like, you know, neighborhoods that I'm familiar with. So, I don't know. That was a pretty interesting touch to throw in. I don't know.
It's just nice to see, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, like the quote unquote hood niggas or the like trap niggas, like, actually show that softer side. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's already certain, like, stereotypes that's put on them and stuff like that. So for him to come out and be like, no, I got another side of me. I'm
show
not just
a more
this way.
Holistic side.
Yeah, show him more as a whole person. You know what I'm saying? That was dope.
Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, trap artists, like, just, you know, diving more introspectively. And we kind of see J. Cole doing that. Not well, kind of the opposite.
He's
working with the trap artists,
yeah.
What I mean to say. And more like, so.
Trap artists are requesting him.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, with that KOD album, that was kind of like the setup for him to, like, just perfectly merge his lyricism and flow onto, like, these trap beats.
Yeah, it was.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
So, and the Gunna's tape, I did listen to it. I skimmed through it, not thoroughly, but what I heard sonically, it was pretty cool. My favorite song is actually, what did I tell you it was?
You said it was...
Outstanding. Outstanding is my favorite song. Outstanding was my favorite song just because sonically shit was dope. You know, Gunna's Gunna. You know what I'm saying? He got good melodies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily go to him for potent lyricism or flow, but he just has a nice melody and he has some good beats and some, you know, some catchy shit.
His flow is just, it's kind of addicting if you hear too much of Gunna like I have. I don't know. That Gunna album, was for me, it was an experience. Like, it was the way...
Wow.
No, hear me out, because, like, it was the way an album should supposed to be, because, like, it was consistent with the cover art, the theme, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, the album was called...
So you really liked it a lot.
I didn't like it a lot now. It's not, but what I'm trying to say is that this is his statement as an artist, you know, drip or drown. He got the drippy flow. He got the swag. He got the sauce. So he puts that onto music with these watery beats, this spacious production from Weezy and Turbo, which was pretty fantastic in my opinion. And, you know, he kind of just, like, perfects that drip melodic flow even more on this project. So sonically, it was even more pleasing for me. I would give him a weak 6 from my initial reaction.
Nice.
Just like, yeah, like, that's pretty
you
good.
You want to rate him?
I don't think I heard the whole thing yet, so I can't even accurately rate him. But based on what I've heard so far, it's about a 5 or 6 out of 10 so far.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It might go up, it may go down, but
yeah. And the entire album is pretty consistent too, so I don't really have a favorite.
Yeah.
So if I had to, like, point out some songs that, like, were, like, really fighting me, I would say Outstanding and what's track number 9?
Look at the track list now. You got the track list there. Is it ironic that Outstanding is, like, the one that stands out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Outstanding was pretty fire.
That shit was so lame that it made everybody, like, I knew that shit was lame before I said it. That shit is lame as fuck.
No, that was a good joke, man. I like that joke. That was clever.
Yeah, so I was fucking with Outstanding.
That was good.
Yeah, I was
I appreciate that shit was lame as fuck though, but I appreciate
bro,
it,
that
dog.
Was funny, bro.
That shit lame as hell.
I'm saying it, dog. That shit was funny.
Oh shit! I'm funny on accident, nigga. Damn,
that stands out, dog.
I'm funny on accident, my nigga.
That was a bar, man.
You think so, bro?
You can rap, man.
I can rap. Look at Mike. Like, don't take that shit that far, bro. Come on,
that was fire, man. Yeah. All right, now what's track 9?
The highlights from Gunna's album for me were Outstanding, Baby Birkin, Three-Headed Snake featuring Thug, And I don't know. Oh, Cash War, just because, I don't know, Wheezy's production just, like, really gets to me. That spacious 808 stuff. Uses right, it very
so,
cautiously.
So for Offset, you give it a 5, mm-hmm. and for Gunna, you give it a 6. But for you, those are pretty solid ratings.
Pretty solid ratings. Yeah. Now, the last one I wanted to touch up on was the Pump album.
And how
did not listen to that shit.
That shit was disappointing. I don't know why I tried to listen to that from front to back. Like,
it was, I don't know how you did it.
Like we all know that Pump
I'll listen
is,
to it. I'll check it out. I like Pump sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, we all know Pump.
How many songs is it?
It's like 16 songs.
Oh, shit.
It's like...
Oh, man, shit. That's torture.
I could honestly, bro, I couldn't finish that album. I made it through half of it, and I was like, damn, Pump. Like, what's going on? Like, there's something missing in that album. Like... I don't know if the production just isn't meshing with his world or something, or if he's just not meshing with the production. It just didn't sound like it to me.
Hey, and damn. I probably won't. To be honest, I probably won't listen to it off my own merit. Like, you guys would have to probably egg me on to listen to it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like,
honestly, the songs that are worth listening to are the hits that are already out. To be honest,
well, dang. Goddamn. Damn, so, hey, all but right. It is what it is.
Oh wait, well, Multimillionaire was all right, I guess.
Rate it out of 10. The songs that you listen to.
A weak, no, strong 3.
Oh,
strong
hell no, three. I ain't listening to that shit.
Strong 3, I'll check it out. Alright guys, so that's gonna go ahead and wrap it up here for the Low Mid Podcast. Tuning out, Huey Revolution,
Ramil,
Nemo the Zeus.
You already know.
We out.